Hello, friends. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News, and I'm excited to announce that I will now be covering this year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference. It's going to be in Laughlin, Nevada, June 6th through 12th. The Laughlin UFO Mega Conference is the world's largest. It's going to feature over 35 amazing presenters, scientists, researchers, contactees. They're going to be presenting incredible information, new disclosures over 7 days. You can now register for the full week, for a half week, or even by the day or session. Always be only one presentation at a time, so you don't have to miss anything. Just go to their website, LaughlinUFOMegaConference.com, and register now. Last year's conference was absolutely awesome, and this year's is going to be even better. Join us for an incredible 7 days of education and disclosure, the Laughlin UFO Mega Conference. I hope I'm going to see all of you there. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Neil Ballman. Before I bring him on, I want to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on lbry.tv, which is now Odyssey. We're also available on all popular podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin. That's where you get all our premium content. You get Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon that we just held this year. You get last year's Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon, all our regular shows, and all the awesome premium content from all the creators on Rockfin. Just click that link in the description to sign up today. And check out C60 Purple Power. C60 is the amazing super antioxidant. It has me feeling better than I felt in years. I have more energy. I lost weight. I don't get sick anymore. You should feel great too. Just click the link in the description to see what C60 has to offer. And we've also been giving it to our dogs. We have one senior dog who wasn't doing too well before we started giving her C60, but now she's perked up. Her coat is shiny. I think she's going to outlive us now. Finally, if you would like to make a donation to help support the show, it would be so greatly appreciated. Anything helps us keep bringing you these amazing guests 5 nights a week or more. That link is also in the description as well. Tonight, I want to welcome Neil Ballman. He is a lifelong contact experiencer. He has recently finished a chapter for the upcoming modalities book for CCRI, the Center for Consciousness Research and Investigation. He is currently writing a book about his personal contact with NHI, or non-human intelligence, titled Between Two Worlds, My Experiences with NHI. He enjoys researching the areas of religion, spirituality, theology, metaphysics, sacred geometry, psychedelics, shamanism, paranormal, the occult, and of course, UFOs. Currently, he's begun speaking out on his own contact experiences on web shows and online speaks. He hopes to continue networking with other contact experiencers and believes that by sharing his stories, he may help others to come forward. Neil, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Doing very well, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I always enjoy having guests like yourself that can share their personal contact experiences to help others understand the phenomenon, to help me understand the phenomenon, and possibly even have a better understanding of the nature of reality in general and life outside the spectrum of our vision. I really want to know, what got you started with this? Was it early childhood paranormal and contact experiences?
That's when it all started. As far as my first remembrance of any contact was around age 3, sighting of a craft outside of my bedroom window.
Oh wow! So you were 3. What do you remember about that? You know, the sighting of the craft.
It was on Christmas Eve, and I shared a bedroom with my brother, and I remember waking up and seeing him in his bed, and at that time, I was still in a large crib, and I had stood up and saw lights flashing outside the window, and peered out behind the curtain, and you know, there was an object hovering over the backyard with a bunch of colored lights. I remember a lot of red lights. I remember a lot of blinking colored lights.
Very interesting. Now, after that experience, you know, when did you have like your first, contact experience where you actually interacted with some of these beings?
Well, I started having what I would consider dream contact in the ages around 7 to 9 is when I started having these terrifying experiences where there was one experience where they did something with my eye, and there was another experience where they put something up my nose as far as either an implant or some type of tool that they utilized to put something up my left nostril when I was young. And Those were dream experiences. You know, I would wake up and I had a lot of incidences going on during that time where I would call them falling dreams, where I would be asleep and I would wake up suddenly jolted, falling down my bed. Like somehow I was just dropped back into my bed, sheets sliding off the bed and everything. And, you know, very, very sudden and dramatic. As far as actual having a full-on UFO experience with what I would consider a major experience was in 1989 when I was 19 down in Florida.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about that experience.
I was on vacation with my parents for spring break, and some friends of mine actually from where I went to college in Akron were down there, and they were visiting some people, and they were camping outside of Tampa in the National Forest down there, and they called me to see if I wanted to come and spend a couple of days with them and go camping. And we went, and I met these people that my two friends were staying with. And we had this incredible encounter. Three of us had, out of the five, had this incredible encounter with a UFO. And it all started out with an owl in the tree that started out this experience, which I think is significant because that's that was what I would consider my first real adult major experience where I was like, what? It was rather incredible. We saw two different types of craft. We saw what appeared to be a star blinking colors at first until we blinked lights at it. And it came forward, and it was a saucer shaped craft with the midsection with colored lights going through it, blinking through it. Was silent except for a low drone, like a slight hum. And I was hanging out with the two girls that I had never met before, and my other two friends had gone off hiking into the woods. And we had been partying a little bit, and we were sitting on the watching the sunset, and the stars had come out. And it had started with this owl that hooted and flew across our view. We were sitting around this lake with a bridge over it. And we were standing on the bridge and watching the stars come out. And then all of a sudden, I noticed this star that's blinking. So I pointed it out to my friend next to me, and I said, you know, do you see that? And they were struggling to see it. And I pull out the flashlight, and I blinked it with the flashlight. Well, it just started going nuts. It started blinking colors real fast, strobing. And then it pulled forward. It like grew in size all of a sudden. It just like in the blink of an eye, it went from being a dot in the sky blinking colors to pulling forward enough that you could see the full silhouette of the craft. It had a very, very bright silver white light that was emitting from the bottom of it. And as I said, a low, low drone. So we started blinking it with the flashlight. The two friends started naming off the colors, and we were all three seeing the same thing. And we started tripping out, you know, what's going on? What is this? And all of a sudden, two stars that were equal distance from the main object started blinking orange and green. and they were in complete tandem with each other, and they started moving forward, and they flew directly over top of us, and they were perfect equilateral pyramids, three-sided pyramids, jet black, had lights on the all the points, green and orange. And the one of them flew over top of me, couldn't have been, you know, more than 100 feet above my head. It was about the size of a Cadillac. Completely silent, blacked out the stars. So it looked like you were just looking at a piece of matte black sky when you look directly at the ship, and then you can see the silhouette of the craft with the stars around it. So that was my first major encounter in my adult life that really set me off on all this.
Wow, that's cool. Now, I want to go back for a second to your dreamlike experiences. Could you make out the beings that you were interacting with during these experiences?
Yes. The ones that I was interacting with when I had the experiences with the implants as a child.
Yes.
Were your atypical... I don't want to call them grays because they're not that, the ones that I encountered weren't that color. They're a cream color. But, you know, this was, I'm 51. So this was, I was around age seven or eight when this occurred, you know, well before there were ever common drawings of the grays, but they were your atypical Zeta type. There were the three worker, I call them worker drones, because that's what they act like. They seem to have their agenda of what they're supposed to be doing when they're aware with you. And then there was a taller being that was controlling me, that was standing behind me, looking down over top of me. There was a telepathic connection with her, and she was calming me down while these other ones were doing some type of medical procedures or physical procedures of some sort.
Very interesting. Now, when you woke up from those experiences, did you have any physical evidence of this that, like, you know, you said you got implants. Did you have anything physically that you could tell the next day that was different?
Yeah, there were after effects, or what I would consider, I call artifacts. I woke up after the dream where they inserted the object in my nostril, with my whole left side of my nose was all inflamed. It was all red and crusty around my nostril. It felt like somebody had pulled a marble out of my nostril. It was all inflamed for probably a week. During that time, I also had a lot of unexplainable nosebleeds.
Very interesting. Now, have you ever had any noticeable, like, implants or foreign objects or anything?
No, but I get a lot of markings. I haven't had any recently since December. December was crazy. I had like a four day span where I had dream contact for three or four nights. And I was waking up with all sorts of scratches and cuts and inoculation marks, what would look like an inoculation mark or a injection mark. I've had cuts in the last year that look like perfect surgical incisions that I've found several places. One time it was on my sternum that two appeared when I was wide awake, and I took photos of them, and they're gone within 2 hours later.
Very interesting. Now, after the experience you had with the with your first major UFO sighting, what happened after that? Did you have any other major contact experiences or anything profound that happened to you?
Oh yeah, very profound. Probably one of my favorite experiences that I had was in 1992. Then was the next major experience that I had. I was traveling out west. I had gone out to Colorado for my first time to go to a rainbow gathering, which is a gathering of the rainbow family, a peace tribe. They gathered out in the national forest out there, and I had I was out there for three nights out at the gathering, and it had encounters, and I had a very, very close encounter with a solid green orb that was about the size of a basketball. I had been out the first night and had witnessed red orbs in the sky that had flown around doing very, very erratic movements, sharp right-hand turns, super fast. had witnessed them. Then the following night was witnessing what appeared to be ships flying around the valley over the tops of the trees, going in like one on each side of the valley where everyone was down in the valley camping. There were all these objects flying around blinking. And I had been watching them for several hours, and I was like, you know, these are UFOs. I'm not getting any airplane noise. I'm not getting any helicopter noise. We're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, you could see so many stars. It was unreal. And I had gotten lost. So I was lost for a little while, and I found these people when I was trying to get back to my campsite. And they, where my friend's campsite was, I had moved earlier in the day to their spot and was having a hard time finding it. So they were like, yeah, we know where the lake is, because it was back by what they called Krishna Lake, where the Krishnas were camped. And we went back there. And on the way there, I asked them, I said, you know, have you guys seen any strange lights in the sky? And the one guy spoke real good English. They were both from New Zealand. And I was in my early 20s at that time. This guy was a little bit older than me. And then the woman that he was with was, you know, probably 10 years my senior at that time. And she didn't speak a lick of English. Well, he says, no, I haven't seen any stuff. What are you talking about? And I point out this object that's following us along the tree line. And I said, do you see that? And he says, oh, that's an airplane. So I didn't say anything. I'm like, I'm going to stay behind them. I'm going to keep my mouth shut and keep my eye on the object. Well, we get out to where the lake is. And right when we step up to the lake, this object is still following us over the tree line, and it's blinking different colors. And there's three of them, three more objects waiting in a perfect equilateral triangle shape in the sky above the lake. So the fourth one's coming in on the right, and I said, do you see that? And I pointed at it, and this thing comes in and stops and makes a perfect equilateral diamond in the sky. And then all four of the lights started blinking back and forth in tandem to each other through color super fast, just going nuts back and forth to each other. And the one that formed the last point in the sky cut across the center of the diamond shape, flashed like this white flash that lit up the whole sky, like something out of a Steven Spielberg movie. You know, it was just amazing. And immediately the woman started jumping up and down and yelling in her foreign language. And the guy is just like blown away. And he's like, did you see that? You know, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I've been seeing this all night. And the lady was jumping up and down and grabbing my arm and was like, did you see this? Did you see this? In broken English, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I saw it. And I went back to my camp. And I had stoked up the fire a little bit, and I was sitting there, and nobody was there. My friend's wife was asleep, and my friend was out still at the drum circle, and I went to bed. Well, before I went to bed, I needed to go to the bathroom, so I went over by the tree line by the lake and was relieving myself, and I'm standing there in complete silence. I had been blown away by the object over the lake, and out of nowhere, over the tops of the trees, Chris, this green ball, the size of like a basketball, comes gliding gracefully over the tops of the trees, the fir trees, and comes right over to the top of the tree above my head. And it bobbed up and down above the tree line for a couple of minutes while I was standing there. And then it flew off as gracefully as it flew up. And that's one of my favorite ones, because I've only ever experienced two or three other people who have encountered the green orbs, but I have met two or three other people who have described the exact experience. So the interesting thing about it is I come back after that. It had flown off. I was just amazed. I went back. I laid down in my tent. And I fell asleep, and I wake up like sometime later, and I see a glowing green light outside of my tent. Well, I didn't immediately think of the object, which I should have. I'm thinking about my drum that I had tied a green glow stick to that my friend was returning to me. That's the first thought that pops in my head. I'm like, oh, it's my friend Matt, and he's returning my drum. So I rolled right over and ran right back to sleep. and wake up the next morning, and I went out to the fire. It was probably like 8 or 9 in the morning, and my friend's wife was outside. And she says, I have to tell you something incredible. And I said, what? And she said she had gotten up in the middle of the night, had come outside to go to the bathroom, and my 6-person tent was glowing green from emitting from the center of my tent. The object had come back and was inside the tent with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Wow. Now, you know, during this whole, these experiences, did you have any type of communication or psychic contact with any of these beings that were in the craft or anything like that?
No, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, to this day, I'm still scrambling for pieces of the puzzle as to what I'm interacting with a lot of the time. Because, you know, I've had distinct experiences where I've experienced crafts that are, you know, your atypical UFO or like the pyramids, or there's another experience that I had up here in Akron with a very, very, it was the largest thing that I've ever seen. And it was a giant black equilateral diamond. It was the size of a football field. So I see things like that. And I've also encountered, there's this object I've encountered 5 or 6 times. I call it the blue star, and it's about the size of a racquetball or a tennis ball. And it's a white glowing light with like a bluish tint to it. And it has come down and interacted with me 6 different times. One of the times was my, I had a full abduction experience in 2016 where I was wide awake, sitting on my French porch, smoking a cigarette, and was taken for 1 hour and 45 minutes off of my porch. The light had shown up, and I had encountered it before, the summer before, and it had communicated with me in 2015. It had come down and appeared 8-10 feet away from me, 6 feet off the ground while I was sitting on my porch smoking a cigarette. And I had a little blue LED light in my pocket on my keychain. So I decided to try blinking it, communicate with it. So I flashed it real quick with the LED light, and it flashed me back. And I was just amazed. And it then flew in front of me. It probably gained another 2 feet in altitude, flew in front of me, directly in front of me, and went above my neighbor's roof and hovered there for a full 5 minutes, answering me every time that I blinked it with the LED light. So if I blinked it 3 times, it would answer me 3 times. And then it gracefully just flew off. And I've experienced it, as I said, like 6 times. And the following summer, then June in 2016, it showed up again, the exact same place where it was before the first time, flashed me. I flashed it with my lighter, and then it flashed me again, but there was something different about it. The best way I could describe it is that it was like more of a pulse than anything else. Like it pulsed me with a longer duration of light, and I felt something, but there was no connection. There was no telepathic connection that I've had with other incidences with these lights. So it disappears. I finished my cigarette. My son had gone to bed right before I'd gone out when this experience happened. My son was asleep in my bedroom. He has contact as well. He was asleep. I had looked at the clock before I went out for the first cigarette. It was 10:15 at night. So I finished the cigarette. The light had disappeared. I came back inside and I rolled my last amount of tobacco for one more smoke because I was excited that the object had showed back up. So I went back outside. I light the cigarette. The object shows back up. And that's the last thing I remember. The next moment I remember, now I'm fully conscious, fully sober, you know, just smoking a cigarette on my porch. The object showed up, it flashed me. The next moment, I was standing on my neighbor's porch, not my porch anymore, my neighbor's porch, which is attached to my building because it was a one-level townhouse. and I'm facing the opposite direction, looking over the roof of the townhouse, waving goodbye to a very, very bright silver white light shooting off to the sky in the south, like super fast, just like shooting off. And I'm waving goodbye to this thing, and I'm super elated. I'm like, I'm so overjoyed, I can't explain it. Like, I'm tingling from head to toe. I'm extremely ecstatic. I come off the porch, and I stop in between my door and my neighbor's door, which is behind me. I'm like, what's going on? I wander into my apartment. Same thing. I don't know where I am, what time it is, what's up. I walk into the bedroom. It was 12 o'clock on the clock. I wake up. I go to bed. I wake up the next morning. My son wakes up, and he has an upside-down equilateral red triangle burnt into his hand, right here on the soft part of it, of his finger, between his thumb and his index finger. And it was about the size of an inch in diameter, and it looked like a burn raised scar. And it didn't hurt, but it was there for 2 solid weeks, Chris.
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned that you did have some instances with sort of telepathic communication with the ship or whatever this is that's kind of showing itself to you. Could you talk about maybe one or two of those experiences?
Well, there's one that I can get into, but I'm not going to name his names because it involves another experiencer. But there's an experiencer that I'm currently not in contact with right now, but was filming a Zoom meeting like we're doing right now with, I was a guest with maybe 7 other people. And this was something that they'd been building up to. They did a 2-hour recording of us to work in some of this into the film, because this person works with a lot of other experiencers. And during this interview, light appeared outside my apartment. I lived on the 3rd floor at that time and was looking out my window. It was probably 10 o'clock at night. It flashed me, and I saw it, and I immediately connected with it. And it was just like immediate thought, like transmission, make sure that you tell them, because they were getting ready to end the interview, make sure that you tell them to go outside with their cameras, is what they told me. And this person's in another part of the U.S., okay? And I stopped the interview with the group because they were ready to kick everybody off. And I didn't tell them what just happened between you and I. I didn't tell them about the message. I only gave them the message. So I said, you guys need to go outside immediately when you get off and take the cameras with you. And there was a significant experience that they had. My friend described it as probably the craziest thing that he's ever witnessed, is what he said. I have not seen the footage. So that was a direct, that's something that happened. That was last December when that occurred. And during that time, I was telling you, I had some experiences where I was having a lot of marks, a lot of physicality with waking up and feeling like some sort of procedures or something was going on. I mean, I could barely walk some of the days. And I would get up and I would take hot baths, and then I would notice all these marks all over my body. And it was during that time when I had an experience with a craft that showed up over my house, and I had a direct link to whoever the occupants were as well, where they were communicating with me directly, like you and I are communicating right here, right now, except it was full on just verbal telepathic.
And what type of messages were they communicating?
I don't want to get into that one. That one's a little complex, and I haven't digested it quite yet.
I got you. Fair enough.
I hate to say that. I don't want to. They actually had me film them, but I don't have the film. There was a whole incident where they had given me a couple of messages. They had greeted me in a certain way, and then they claimed that they wanted me to film them. And I didn't really want to film them. And the, you know, the communication that was going on, well, you know, we thought that this was something that you wanted with doing interviews, that this might be able to help you and help us. And I ended up recording this experience and then had thrown the phone out the window in the snow because I was feeling like I was being manipulated. And I ended up retrieving the phone an hour later after all this really weird stuff had happened with them communicating with me through my laptop then. So there's this object that looks like the moon out in the sky, absolutely huge, huge, round, glowing white object. And I had thrown the phone out the window and had gone and retrieved it an hour later, and the footage was gone off of the phone. The phone was out in the snow for an hour, was powered down, had no problems. I powered it back up, but the footage that I had recorded, because I had set the camera up in the window, so I got a steady shot of it, and I recorded for like 3 minutes straight, and then I came back and looked at the footage, and I was blown away by what I saw, but I was also, I felt completely manipulated. I was just like, why are you, why is this experience going on? Why are you encouraging me to film this? You know? And it, like I said, it was a very, very bizarre 3 or 4 days. My family thought I was losing my mind. You know, people were just like left and right on Facebook. Are you okay? Are you okay? Because I had posted pictures of my marks and, you know, and I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I've been experiencing this all my life, but you know, that's part of the reasons why I started talking out is if I can help one person who has had the kind of life that I have had, where you're dancing between two worlds, you have this everyday, my everyday life, you know, my average Joe Neil life. And then I have my UFO experiences and the paranormal and all that. And that's like a complete and separate world in and of itself. And I don't feel like I ever really get to fully participate in either or. I'm stuck in the middle.
Right. Now, are there any discernible messages that you've received along the way that you can talk about that you feel comfortable sharing?
Well, one of the biggest things that I want to try and get across to people, especially right now with the current climate, with what's going on with the government, and then the most recent footage over the aircraft carrier of the pyramids, I'm fearful that they're going to try and make this. I call them the star beings. I am of Native American descent. I believe that these beings are at least whatever I'm interacting with. Is benevolent. It doesn't have any negative ill will towards me or anybody else. The message that I'm getting is, you know, what's going on is that we need to advance consciousnessly as a species in order to continue to exist. We need to change what's going on with the environment and, you know, how we're polluting and destroying Mother Earth. And the experiences that I've had have been extremely positive. When I was younger, they were frightening. But, you know, as I said, my child has experiences as well. And my child was healed from a blood disorder at age 2.5 after a UFO encounter.
Really? Could you go into a little bit more details about that?
Sure. It's a great story. I'd gotten separated from my wife in 2009. And I had moved into this place in this town called Stowe, which is on the edge of Akron. And it's kind of in the edge of farmland and the suburbs are booted up next to it. And I had only probably been in this place a couple of months. And my child was 2.5 at that time. And he spoke of himself in the third person. He would say, you know, I'm not going to use his real name, but for instance, we'll say Matt. He'd say, Maddie wants to go outside or Maddie wants to do this. Well, we were hanging out. I had him for the week. And he says he wants to go out and see the moon. He says, you know, can we go out and see the moon? Maddie wants to go see the moon. So we go outside and we're standing out in my parking lot looking at the moon. And this object appears, looks like Jupiter, about the size of Jupiter, just appears in the sky all of a sudden and starts blinking colors. strolling through colors, and I noticed that he saw it because I was holding him, and I could see that it was right in the direction where we were looking in the where the moon was, and I didn't really think anything of it because after having these other experiences that are like so incredible, it's like being in a movie. Just seeing one blinking lights in the sky doesn't really do it for you. You're just like, you know, I'm in the middle of taking my care of my kid, and I'm like, I've got to put him to bed. So I went in and I put him to bed, and before I put him to bed, we were standing there, we were watching the object. All of a sudden, it just dropped in the sky. It was like stationary, blinking colors, and then it dropped down to the ground. And that was it. I didn't see any other movement or anything, didn't see where it went. We went inside and I put my kid to bed. Now, mind you, I was a stay-at-home dad from the time that this kid was born. I was with him every minute from the time he came home from the hospital up until this time when I had gotten separated from my wife. So he had never, ever once had a nightmare, night terror, bad dream, not once for 2.5 years. I'm in the living room reading a book. All of a sudden, he's screaming bloody murder. I hop up. I go in the other room. I pick him up. I'm like, you're okay. You're okay. You're just having a bad dream. He says, Maddie wants to go see the moon outside. So I take him outside, and we're standing there, and we're looking at the moon. And he says to me, Maddie went up into the sky. And I was just completely shocked. And I said, okay. And I said, what happened? And he said, the mean monster and the robot took Maddie up into the sky. And I said, okay, well, what happened? He said, they touched my belly and there was blood. And at that time, I'm starting to freak out. And I'm trying with my questioning to not lead him in any way. I'm just being open-ended. I'm like, okay, what happened then? He said, plain as day, they brought me back. So a month later, I take him in for his updated blood work. And he had been born with a white blood cell deficiency from birth. He had no prenatal care due to another strange story with how he was born. He is type O negative like I am. Which is the interesting part with my wife and how he was born, because there's a discrepancy in regards to genetics and blood cells. He should not, with his blood type, he should not have been, he shouldn't exist. We didn't know she was pregnant. He was born on his birthday, and we had gone to the emergency room for abdominal pain with her, and neither of us knew that she was pregnant. So he was born with this rare blood disorder where his white blood cell count would go up and down. So they called it cyclic neutropenia. Well, he had been dealing with that for the first 2.5 years of his life. And then after this UFO experience where he says they touched him and there was blood on his stomach and they did some procedure to him, I take him to the doctor and he's cured. There has never, ever been a trace of the blood cell issue ever since. And he's currently going to be 15.
Wow. Now, did he ever have any other memories of this incident? Or, you know, you said he still experiences things like this, right?
Yeah. Really doesn't faze him. Currently, he hasn't described anything recently. He still remembers this experience from age 2.5 like it was yesterday. About 3 months ago, we had gone out to eat, and he told me, we brought up the subject because that was when I had been getting into doing shows and wanted him to know that I was talking out about my experiences because, you know, I want him to, his story to be his story. And if it's a choice that he wants to express that somewhere down the line, that's fine. But that's why I'm a little bit secretive here and there with certain things in order to protect him and protect my family. But he totally described the experience that I just described to you from age 2.5, word for word, verbatim, 3 months ago. Had me in tears. we were out at a restaurant, you know, and I couldn't stop the fact that it upset me to such a degree because, right down to even adding more details, describing the interior of the ship, what the table looked like, what these straps looked like that come up around the legs and the arms to hold you down. And that was the part that really got to me the most, was the fact that, you know, he's describing things that I've experienced before.
That is very fascinating. You mentioned the certain blood type. Do you think that these beings are, interacting with certain people over others, possibly having to do with a certain blood type or bloodline or just a state of consciousness? What do you think?
I think it's both. I think that they're interested in the consciousness evolution of certain people and certain types of people or groups. And then I do believe that once you start having these experiences, once there's a conscious connection made, that connection stays there. And, if you work on these things, these are abilities that I believe everybody has. They are innate abilities that have been unlearned out of us, we've been taught to not believe in or to not believe they exist. Yet, you can go back to the Native Americans and they have close contact with the star beings, and they call them the Star Nation. And, they have interaction with these beings and have for a long time. And back to what you were saying about, how I would like people to get something positive from my experiences is to help other people who don't have a voice when it comes to this stuff. And it's hard reaching out and discussing these things. I started out talking out last year was the first year that I started reaching out and talking to people. And then the writing for the CCRI came up. And that's the first thing that I've ever written and put out in the public sense. As I said, that'll be in the Experiencers book that comes out in September from them, the UFO and Modalities book. And it's a 20-page chapter that was requested by Renario Hernandez, who is the head of New York State MUFON.
And that's how you got involved with the CCRI book? They contacted you?
Yeah, I met him through a group, heist group, Human Initiated Contact Experience group on Facebook. And that's how I ended up connecting with Ray and got asked to submit the writing. It's been since I started doing shows and speaking out and hooking up with certain groups and that connected me with other experiencers. It's been a somewhat bumpy ride in the world of ufology so far. A lot of people that seem to have a lot of stuff invested in, their projects and their books and their movies and this, that, and the other, and a lot of egos in that pool. And I'm not interested in it for that. I'm interested in telling my experiences because I think that what's going on with the military and the Pentagon's involvement and the CIA is that they're going to utilize these new footage and there's more and more sightings, as in the last couple of months, there's been mass sightings all over the place. They're going to try and use that to push their agenda of these beings being a threat is my take on it. Not to the degree that there's going to be a false flag or anything like that. I don't necessarily believe in that. Like some people have professed, I believe in the fact that they will utilize this to push their agenda with the weapons in space.
Yeah, that makes sense because, I know they want to roll out a bunch of new toys, and what better excuse than a threat from space? Right. That would definitely make sense. Now, I do want to get into, you're writing a book as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about what you're writing in your book?
Well, I want to write. I'm writing my experiences down to share with anybody. Like I said, any experiencers out there who are interested in reading this and hopefully gaining something positive from it. That's not all this doom and gloom alien agenda stuff. When I was young in my 20s and I started to realize that these things were happening to me, there were all the telltale signs of abduction and post-traumatic stress and incidences where I would have experiences and wake up with complete body paralysis, the sleep paralysis. I've run the gamut with all that. And to the degree that in my early and mid 20s, I was very paranoid of the experiences. I didn't embrace it. In 2015 and 2016, when I started having all these really, really close encounters, like when the blue light came down to me and I had the abduction experience, I was having contact on a regular basis. From spring until fall in 2015, 2016, I would go out and see ships regularly, like on a weekly basis. I would have them over my house in the airspace. Many times I would have multiple craft up in the sky and I would be communicating with them and they would be doing different acrobatics and things like that. And then all of a sudden they would all disappear. They would one by one blink out and two F-18 fighter jets would fly in and fly right over the airspace. And then as soon as the fighter jets would leave, the UFOs would appear again. It was like they were playing a little cat and mouse game with them. But I want people to be able to come forward and talk about their experiences. I would like that it be a situation where people aren't afraid to try and communicate with other people, because if we don't share our experiences with other people, we're not learning about it. And, the government wants to know every little bit about this stuff. I think that that's why there's the harassment that we get with the experiencers who are lifetime experiencers, know what I'm speaking of, when it comes to dealing with the negative aspects of speaking out publicly about this stuff. Right. And I don't think that in 2021, there should not be the stigma associated with UFOs that there has been. And it goes back to the whole ufology and disinformation agents and everyone working their different agendas. And the real people are, I feel like now the real people are just starting to get their voice in regards to ufology and that world with experiencers coming forward and being more vocal.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Now, you did write a section about psychedelics. Now, yes. I do enjoy a good psychedelic experience, and I've had contact experience. I've had contact experience without psychedelics through meditation, psychic contact with some sort of beings. They introduced themselves as a certain race, and under psychedelic influence, I've had contact as well. And I believe it was with different beings. So, I'd like to get your take on, psychedelics and the ability to make contact with these substances.
First of all, two quick questions. What race did they tell you?
The first one, they introduced themselves as Arcturian.
Okay.
And the second didn't really introduce themselves as any race, but I felt this like extreme love and this connection that I've never felt with any person before, just like otherworldly love, like just blasted with these feelings. It was the most amazing feeling I've ever felt.
And what was the psychedelic?
The psychedelic was magic mushrooms, psilocybin.
Oh yes. As I described in the writing for the book, when I was in my early college years, I did quite a bit of experimentation with the psychedelic mushroom, and the experiences that I would have, I would have to describe as extraterrestrial in nature. There is a energy that you connect with. For me, it was within the first couple of experiences with psychedelic mushrooms that I felt the presence. and you'll probably relate to this as far as you feel the energy come in when you're in that state before you actually, at least for me, before I understood what I was dealing with. And I don't know if you're a very visual person, but I'm a visual artist, and I'm very visual when it comes to psychedelics. We had a lot of closed mind visuals and whatnot, closed eye visuals.
Yes.
And I would see these beings.
I would see the auras. I wouldn't be able to make out features, but I could see the auras of these beings. I could see different colors like blue or a blue-green color associated with whoever I was communicating with.
I told you about these little cream-colored Zeta beings that I call the fawns, because they're like the fawn color type of color of a female deer. Right. And I would have these mushroom experiences and would have full-blown, I was at a rave back in the 90s. I used to be a rave DJ all through the 90s and produced music and DJed all across the Midwest. And I was at a party and I was on mushrooms, and I had a huge oval appear in my wide awake, you know, eyes wide open, what appeared like a portal, like an oval portal with all these bug-eyed little Zeta beings staring at me. It looked like you were looking into a old-time medical procedure room with the seats going up, and it was just nothing but faces, a whole wave of faces of these beings. And I would have contact when I would ingest a fair amount of psychedelic mushrooms, where I would regularly feel like I was in contact with these entities. But for me, it's hard. Like the writing that I did for CCRI was the first time that I started describing any of those experiences. And actually looking at it from the standpoint of being where I'm at now with my contact experience, and looking back at those experiences with a different viewpoint in regards to them being contact experiences.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I had the benefit of, you know, understanding this before I started kind of really experimenting with the magic mushrooms with an intent of making contact, and it made the experience a little bit better understandable, even though some of the downloads I got, I'm still unpacking, you know, incredible
Sure.
information. But
Experienced dimethyltryptamine then?
No, not yet. No, I have not.
That is incredible, considered the experiences that you have on the psychedelic mushroom. To me, are very, very, very similar to dimethyltryptamine. They're only one chemical notch off from each other as far as the chemical makeup of psilocybin and psilocin to DMT. And I've been learning a lot more about the relationships to, like, for instance, in the last 6 months, I learned a lot about there being a tie-in with DMT and the ancient Egyptians, and what appears to be the fact that they seem to have full knowledge of the chemical thousands of years ago, and that if you actually look at the 2D chemical composition of dimethyltryptamine and the Orion star map, they're identical to each other. And then there's all this information in regards to what we're learning with the psychedelic mushroom and its links to ancient Egypt, as well as marijuana being a medicine that they utilize on a regular basis. There's all sorts of stuff that have been coming to the surface in regards to the links between what they were doing with the Sirius connection and the dimethyltryptamine through their rituals.
Yeah, I'm definitely convinced that ancients utilized psychedelics for some sort of contact and to gain this knowledge and information. It definitely makes sense.
And somebody had to show them that. You know, it's like the ayahuasca, who, you know, the shaman in South America, they say that the plants told them what to plant together. So the plant spirit told the human beings what two plants to mix together to have these experiences, to be able to commune with the plant world.
Yeah, that is definitely fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
It is super fascinating. Now, we got a few minutes left. I'd like to get your take on if you think that there are actually negative ETs or different races with different agendas on this planet that we should be concerned about.
Personally, I don't think so. I have now in, you know, I'm not, it's just my personal opinion. I have to say, for my personal opinion, and it's because of the experiences that I have, that the more open that I am and positive and less, you know, if you're fearful and you're going out and you're looking for these experiences, you're not going to have them. You know, if you are having these experiences by God and you are fearful and you're stuck in that cycle of fear, you need to get over that hurdle. That's the biggest hurdle as an experiencer, I believe, that if I can help anyone out with, is the fear factor. You need to get over that hurdle because your experiences are not going to change. You're going to want to fight the experience or be fearful of it, which causes post-traumatic stress, sleep disturbances, all sorts of, you know, things that are frustrating and problematic. And when you learn to embrace the experience in a positive fashion, I do believe the experiences change. And I mean, I have incredible experiences. I look forward to my contact experiences. As far as there being this evil agenda, I'm really, like, in all the people I have met in the last year in ufology and experiencers and whatnot, I have yet to meet not one. I have not met one person who claims to have contact with negative beings. Or, you know, we hear about the main three, the grays and the reptilians and the Draco reptilians, and there is a war going on between them and the light forces. And I tend to believe that that the larger picture looks at us and we're the warlike species. We're the ones who are causing all the problems here on planet Earth. I'm not seeing that going on with an evil network of reptilians or whatever. I just don't see it.
Right. I do see, you know, humans being a huge factor in a cause of a lot of the problems that we're seeing right now. I think we tend to look towards other factors besides ourselves to blame a lot. And, you know, lately the UFO community or a lot of researchers in this kind of conspiracy realm tend to look off planet for the source of this, you know, evil or whatever. But it could very well just be us. You know, humans are dicks. You know, what can you say?
In my personal experiences, the worst animal I've ever seen has been man. The things that we do to each other, the things we do to the environment, you know, I don't believe the things that I've seen are akin to magic. Okay. I don't even consider it like an advanced technology anymore. Whatever we're looking at, because I mean, they manipulate time, they manipulate space, they are able to change sizes. I've seen things change size. I've seen things go from a solid white light in the sky that looked like the moon to a giant craft in the blink of an eye. And when you have an experience like that and your whole reality is shattered, it's hard to wrap your brain around whatever conscious or intelligence created this thing that you're looking at would be here for any negative reason. If they have the technology to do the things that I've seen, they could come here and take us over in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they seem to have the ability to just alter the complete fabric of reality, and, you know, whatever they want you to see or hear, that's what you're going to see. You know, so if they, like you said, if they want to take us out, they could have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's why to me it seems ridiculous. I've done a lot of heartfelt thinking on the subject over the last two decades, and it seems pretty ridiculous to me because it's like, you know, you have a lot of people who look at somebody like me who comes forward with their stories, and it's like, I have a hard time with people who want to say they're negative, because it's like demons, as far as I know, don't come down and heal people. And my child was healed. I know other people who have had nothing but positive experiences through their contact with the star beings. They've been healed. Chris Bledsoe, are you familiar with Chris Bledsoe's story? He was healed. He calls them celestial beings. And, you know, there's people who are in contact, or, you know, he has pretty regular contact down in the Carolinas where he lives, and videotapes these things. And, you know, he's in a special group of people who have been taken in by the alphabet groups and NASA, and he films them, you know.
Yeah,
those groups are just as interested. They're just as interested in the subject as we are, Chris. The FBI, the CIA,
I just don't trust them with any of this stuff. You know, I wouldn't want them to harness or get their hands on anything, because I don't trust, you know, any of our government institutions or organizations. But that's just me. Hopefully, you know, if they do get their hands on it, they won't destroy the planet or anything. But Neil, go ahead.
I think that's what we're seeing right now, is they're wanting to bring out all these new toys that they you know, back engineered from the technology that we've acquired in the 40s and the 50s. And you know that they've been picking up craft all around the planet for decades. You know, you've got the experience that I talked about the craft over Lockheed Martin here in Akron, just has me, I still do not know what I was looking at, what I witnessed. I mean, there were the airfield was lit up at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning. There were two all-black Apaches with full gun array that showed up while this craft was there. You know, you can't tell me that they missed that. They did not, you know, they saw that. They knew that. They knew that thing was there. They witnessed what I witnessed. And what was it? Was that a Lockheed project? Was that a Bigelow Aerospace project? They're up here in Cleveland.
Right.
You know, what is really going on with that? That's my biggest question. That's one thing that after I write this book about my experiences, is I'm debating writing a book about the Black Op programs and who actually is this. I would like to find out who these people in the helicopters are.
Yeah, exactly. And they obviously know a lot more than they're letting on. But yeah, that's going to be a whole new show, and I'd love to have you back on after you get your book finished up. Before you head out, is there any social media, or any, if people want to get in touch with you, any way they can do that, or anything like that?
Best way to get a hold of me currently is Facebook. They can find me under my name on Facebook and shoot me a friends request, and I will gladly add them, as long as they're not trying to sell me anything or Bitcoin me from Africa.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I had my whole system. When I started talking out, I went from 300 friends on my personal friend page to like 3,000 people and counting. And it's hard to keep them all straight. And actually, my system was hacked as well during that time period when I had done a couple of radio shows, and I had had some interference with my laptop and my phone. I've been through 3 phones in the last 2 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
they like to hack my phone.
Yeah, getting into this stuff can get a little dangerous for your electronics, especially.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's an investigator for MUFON, and he says he has a box that he tosses all the laptops and the phone into. He's you know, up to like 15 cell phones and counting.
Yeah, it's, I've lucked out so far. Nothing really got destroyed for me yet, but
that's good. I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Neil, thank you so much for coming on. That was fantastic information. Yeah. Like I said, after you get your book done, we'll love to have you back on.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we'll see you again tomorrow.